Daphne.
And I'm Gail.
I'm Gail.
Not singing my name anymore.
I'm Gail.
And for That's Disturbing, here for episode 8, as I already mentioned. Woo woo! Hey, Mom.
What?
We have an Instagram that not a lot of people are following yet.
No shit.
So follow that Instagram.
Please.
What are you doing?
Right? And tell all of your friends.
Tell everybody you know.
Yeah, friends, enemies, family, people you meet on the street.
Just don't bash us on Instagram.
Yeah, please. Be nice.
Be nice to us. We're new. We're just little baby beginners. And you can send us case requests at our email at thatsdisturbingpodcast@gmail.com. We're not starting this over. Quit laughing.
Okay.
I'm going to punch you in the boob.
Oh, don't say that on video. Audio.
Vid audio.
Don't say it.
Okay.
Take it back. Edit it.
Flick you.
Okay.
I'll flick you if you don't stop laughing.
Okay.
Where are you at?
There's case request on our email.
Yeah.
There's... what else?
Yeah, you can send us a case request. We have a Gmail.
Oh, yeah. But that's where you can send the case request.
Yeah,
that's
but you can also thing. Do that through our website, which is...
That's the third thing. It's a website.
It's a website that I spent a lot of time designing that still needs a lot of work, but it's beautiful as it is right now.
It's nice.
It is. I did a good job.
Yes, you did. I'm really tired because... sorry.
Yeah, you're always tired whenever we record.
I know. We need to start recording on my time, like at 7 a.m.
Yeah, okay. You have jokes, my lady.
Right.
You have jokes. Okay, let's get on to the disturbing fact. This is related to the season that we're in. Did you guys know Coca-Cola is the reason why Santa Claus wears red and white to this day? I don't know if that's actually considered a disturbing fact, but I find it disturbing.
That Coca-Cola is responsible for Santa's current outfit?
Yeah. Like a major corporation.
Yeah.
That's responsible for this tradition that's been in many different cultures.
Yeah.
And kind of evolved into, it's Americanized, I feel like, the presence and all that. Everybody has their own lore about it. But now he wears red and fucking white from Coca-Cola, America's drink.
Hey, actually, if you think about it, that's kind of badass.
That it's still a thing?
That it's still a thing and that Coca-Cola made it happen. Like, could you imagine if you had something, like some kind of product, and it was so freaking influential that someone as famous as Santa Claus started wearing your colors, right?
How That's very cool fair. Is that? I just think about Santa's old outfit and the old culture that was tied to that.
Yeah.
The death of that.
I learned at work the other day that Santa Claus originated in Poland, which I thought it was Germany, but apparently it's Poland, according to the trivia question at my watch. It was a trivia question, so I'm assuming they probably found the right answer. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe not.
Guess it depends on how much English is good. As they always say, English is good. I guess it just depends on how much research they did, right?
Yeah.
Maybe. That's like us doing our cases. Like, you have to fact check everything. Go across multiple sources and figure out, you know, what's real and what's not real.
Yeah, I'm gonna look right now.
What's the answer?
Not when, where. Turkey. Oh, that's right. It was Turkey. That was the right answer. So I lied. Totally not Poland. I remember there were just three answers on there. There's Germany, Poland, and Turkey. But it was Turkey. And I just confirmed it. And that was the right answer.
Like Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, sure. Or the country.
it's a joke.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm sorry I was spewing incorrect facts as we just talked about fact checking.
Yeah,
clearly
right.
I wasn't that much paying attention in the meeting.
Yeah, obviously. It's too early for that anyway when you have meetings.
Yeah, sometimes.
Way too early. All right.
Okay.
Give us our case.
All right. Ready to roll?
I'm ready to rock and I'm ready to roll. And I'm ready to sing Christmas songs. Let's do this. Tell me all about your case, Mom. What are you doing today?
I am doing a story called The Christmas Killings. Sorry, that was my foot.
Yeah, gosh, I get blamed. I can't wear shoes while we're recording. And my mom can just kick things now.
My bad. My case is called The Christmas Killings. And this happened in Dayton, Ohio. And so I had a really hard time finding a lot of information about this case because I feel like it probably didn't make national news. Maybe it did. I don't know. But I mean, trying to find information about this case, I just Googled murders around Christmas time because I thought I would get in the holiday spirit.
Yes, the holiday spirit of murder.
Yes. And of course, all the cases that come up are big ones, you know, JonBenet Ramsey, the Santa Claus of Covina, like ones that are more in depth that I didn't don't have time to do a really in-depth case because I'm working on two other really in-depth cases. So I was looking for something that was a little bit shorter so that we could get one out this week, and it was my turn to get one out, and I don't want to let you down, and so
this it is. It's mom's turn.
Yeah. So this is what I did. Again, it's called The Christmas Killings, and it happened in Dayton, Ohio over a 3-day period of time. So it was Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and the 26th of December, and this was all in 1992. Because at the time, Dayton, Ohio had a tremendously high crime rate. Like,
it had a crime rate?
It had a crime rate. A huge crime rate. So violent crime was really big. Like, it was just, the city was struggling to maintain a lack of violence for, you know, any period of time. And so I just wonder if it was kind of one of those things, unfortunately, that just was happening so regularly. Anyway, the part of town that it happened in was kind of a poorer community. And so I don't know, maybe you know how that goes too.
Right, that poverty is tied to crime.
Well, no, not that, but poverty tied to crime, tied to publicity.
Yeah.
Like if it's rich people,
you're going to hear all about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like JonBenet Ramsey.
Exactly. Exactly. My point exactly. And the Santa Claus of Covina, that was kind of an affluent family also. And so, or at least semi-affluent. Right. This happened in Dayton, Ohio, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and the 26th of December in 1992. There were 6 victims that were killed over this 3-day period of time.
That averages 2 a day.
Yeah, that's 2 a day. So the first victim that the police discovered was 18-year-old Danita Gillette, and she was found shot in a phone booth. She'd been shot in the chest, the legs, and the hand. She was taken to the hospital where she was pronounced dead.
That's so sad.
Yeah, it's sad.
And it's 18. Sad when you hear people that get shot in the hand because, you know, they're just throwing their hands up as, like, self-defense.
Right. Yeah, self-preservation.
Right. It's a natural instinct that they're just like, please. I mean, not that it's going to deflect a bullet, but... Right.
But your brain...
That sounds like it's totally a defensive wound.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it's sad. Well, and she's 18 and it's Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
That's really sad, right? According to the police reports, Danita begged them not to shoot her and gave up her belongings willingly, which were in an inexpensive secondhand coat and her Fila tennis shoes, which would have been the more expensive thing that she had on her, but still not worth killing anybody over. And she had 50 cents on her.
That's so sad. That's so horrible. And mom, I have a fun fact for you.
Okay, tell me.
I feel weird throwing a fun fact in here when we're talking about murder, but... Did you know what Fila stands for?
I did not. I do not. Nope.
Nope, Daph, I don't. Stands for I Love Atlanta.
I love that.
I know. Isn't that cute?
It is cute. So I'm guessing the founders of Fila are from Atlanta.
What? How could you possibly guess such a thing?
Deductive reasoning, my friend.
Deductive reasoning. I like it.
So back to the case. But thank you for the fun fact.
Yes. Not so fun when talking about murder, though.
No, never is. Danita was one of 8 siblings, and she was the mother of a 2-year-old daughter.
That's so sad.
Really, really sad.
I know. It's Christmas Eve. She's going to go give her baby gifts.
Yeah, her family was at home waiting for her. Yeah. And then when she didn't show up, they were, you know, they got worried, and then they got this phone call. So her family. So sad. Yeah, it's super sad.
It's so horrible.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
No. Me either. Can you imagine? No, I can't imagine. Christmas Eve, you get that call that your sister's dead, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely not. On Christmas Eve, right. We watch It's a Wonderful Life every year.
Yes,
so, yeah, no, I think I would be like, this is my mom's favorite movie. Where is she?
Yeah.
Where are you? You got some splaining to do.
all of those things. Her family said that she was the sweetest mother, and she was going to school, and she worked, and she was driven to provide a good life for her and her daughter. So she's a productive, upstanding young girl. You know, she's 18 years old, and this happens on Christmas Eve. So really super sad.
People suck.
People do suck. Homicide Detective Doyle Burke was paged on this night to the scene to investigate. And they found some 25 caliber, in quotes, blazer aluminum shell casings. And they called that unusual because they're, I mean, obviously as all bullets are designed to be bullets.
Right, to be murder weapons.
Right. These bullets are not, I guess, essential. They're not really...
Or I guess they're not murder weapons, but like weapons to kill.
Right.
Like people go hunting.
Right. but I think, I don't know, it's, I think these are not high velocity bullets or something, because they said these aren't the kind of bullets that you would normally see at a crime scene.
Okay. So, well, it sounds like she got shot a lot, so that makes sense.
She did get shot a lot, like nine times.
Took a lot to take her out.
Yeah, she was shot nine times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She fought.
Yeah. Yeah, she did. It was unusual that they found these particular bullet casings at the scene. The following day, Detective Doyle was again, or Detective Doyle Burke, sorry, his last name is Burke, was again alerted to a second shooting. So this is Christmas Day, right? The victim was 19-year-old Richmond Maddox. He was shot at close range in the right side of his head by someone in the passenger seat of his car. And witnesses said that they saw a young woman jump out of his moving car before the car hit a tree and stopped the tree, obviously. And this was just a few miles from where Danita had been killed the night before.
That's so sad.
On Christmas Day.
It sounds like this guy doesn't have a type, though, because it's, except for that they're like young individuals.
Right. And then the area.
Yeah. So. But I mean, one person he killed at a phone booth, the other person he killed in a car, mm-hmm. and one was female, the other's male.
Well, and like I said, witnesses saw a young woman jump out of the moving car. Police went and to speak with his family and friends. They said that he didn't have any enemies, but he also didn't have too many friends. And police were told about his ex-girlfriend, Laura Taylor. So police wanted to question her to see if she had any, like, insight to what was going on.
Laura, what are you doing?
But she was a runaway, and her family had no idea where she was.
Of course.
Right.
Sounds about fitting.
Yeah.
I bet she's wearing Fila's.
Yeah, well, most likely. You see where this is heading.
She's sprinting in her Fila's.
Right.
That aren't hers.
Yeah. Also on December 25th, a woman was filling her tires with air at a gas station when she was approached by two armed males, and one of the men pointed a gun at her and said, in quotes, "You will die today." The woman ran as they fired bullets at her, and she managed to escape uninjured, but they took her car. How scary would that be if you're just at the gas station putting air in your tires and somebody comes up to you and puts a gun to you and says that you're going to die today? And
it's Christmas.
Again, it's Christmas.
Okay, but why is she putting air in her tires on Christmas?
I don't know. I can't answer that.
Why is she not spending time with her family?
Well, maybe she was driving to her family members and she needed air. Get there safely, unfortunately.
I mean, this is all fair points. I just want to know, if you have the option to not leave the house on Christmas, why are you leaving the house on Christmas?
Especially go to the gas station and fill your tires with air.
Yeah, especially for that reason.
Right. But like I said, maybe she was going to her grandma's or something and she needed air in her tires.
Okay.
I don't know. But anyway, that was the case. And so these guys, they took her car, and it was a black Dodge Shadow. And so now at least police had some kind of a vehicle description to be on the lookout for these people, right? So not necessarily the people that are involved, but like it's random that it's also the same neighborhood, right?
What do you mean be on the lookout for these people?
Well, because they have a description for this car. And these, and we don't, they don't know
to
who,
be on the lookout for the car.
Right. And they don't know, obviously, who's perpetrating these crimes yet. But again, this is in the same neighborhood as all of these, as these other two things have gone down.
Okay.
Right?
I gotcha.
Sorry. Again, it was really hard to find a lot of information, and some of it was conflicting. But as we always do, we find the sources that have the same information are most likely going to be the most accurate.
Right.
So, and this is how the timeline of events also goes in this story. Then on December 26th, two people were shot at the Short Stop Mini Mart out just outside of Dayton. And according to witnesses, two men, so your two men.
Yeah, the assholes that shot at the woman who stole her car.
Yeah, most likely. So they
left the house on Christmas.
Right. So the two men entered the store demanding money, which was given to them willfully by the woman behind the register, but they opened fire anyway, which sucks.
Because, that does suck.
Yeah. It sucks. So Sarah Abram, who was either 37 or 38, because again, conflicting reports, and it was in both places, like it was in several places both ways. So I'm just wanting to give the most accurate. So she was either 37 or 38. But anyway, she was the clerk that was behind the counter, and it was her family's store. So she's working day after Christmas in her family store. She was shot in the face and she died 4 days later in the hospital.
Oh,
so sad.
That is so sad.
Really sad. A customer, Jones Pettis, was also shot and survived. And then part-time employee who worked at the store, Jimmy Thompson, who was 71 years old, was also shot and he survived. And Thompson said he survived by pretending to be dead. And there was only 30 bucks in the register.
Jeez.
Yep.
All this for 50 cents, 30 bucks.
Well, and the 50 cents was still on Danita. So they didn't even take her 50 cents.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. But her family knew that she didn't have any money when she left. So she basically had this 50 cents probably to use the phone booth, right?
Yeah, you would assume.
Right. When police get to this scene, there are the same aluminum shell casings that are found at Danita's crime scene. So again, these unusual, not typical murder weapon type bullets are found.
These trailblazers.
Yeah, they call them blazers.
Or blazers.
Just blazers.
I don't know why I said trailblazer, because...
It's a car.
It's a car.
Or
it's
somebody who blazes a trail.
Or like a founder of something, like a person who paves their own way.
Okay.
But I don't know why I said it. I meant to say the blazers.
Maybe you're filling in for me and my weird semantics that I use sometimes.
The trailblazers. Yeah, man.
Right.
Right on.
There you go. Police got a break in the case when Sergeant John Huber spotted the black Dodge Shadow that had been reported stolen, right?
I've never even heard of that car.
It's like a sedan.
A Dodge Shadow.
Yeah.
Are they still around today?
I think so.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like a sedan. It's like a Camry or something, kind of.
Okay.
But it's a Dodge. So anyway, he ran the license plates, and they weren't a match to that car. They weren't registered to that car. So then he noticed that it looked like the plates from the car in front of it had been, like, there's smudges or whatever on the license plate, so he could tell that the plates had been fucked with recently, right?
I was just about to say, it sounds like these motherfuckers swapped out the license plates.
Yep, exactly. So, he noticed, like I said, that there were, like, smudges and stuff on the license plates, so they had been switched with the car that was directly parked in front of it. So that car, which the plates were on the Dodge Shadow, right?
Yeah.
Was registered to 34-year-old John Wilkerson. So police go to his house and nobody answers the door. Door's unlocked. So they enter the property and they're immediately struck in the face with the smell of a dead body.
Ah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So
he's obviously been there a while.
Mm-hmm. And his home had been ransacked. And they found John Wilkerson dead in his bed. His hands were tied to the bedpost, and he had been shot once in the head and once in the chest. And guess what?
He had feelers.
No. Oh. Investigators found the same shell casings.
A blazer, not a trailblazer.
Right?
A blazer.
Yep, so same shell casings again. And not too long following these tragic events, investigators got a call from someone who claimed to have information about the crime spree and blamed the quote-unquote downtown posse for the crimes.
The downtown posse.
Yeah.
The downtown posse.
Posse. The downtown posse.
What are they, like a pretend gang if they call themselves a posse?
I guess.
Sounds like they're like doing like the look at the wrist.
Yeah, I don't know. Look at the wrist. I wouldn't want to be in that.
I wouldn't either.
I would vote for a different name.
I would too. I downvote the name the downtown posse.
Same.
That's not a good one.
Right. But clearly they're criminals, and so they don't have any...
Yeah, why couldn't they be called, like, the Blazers?
Like the Trailblazers?
Yeah, the Trailblazers. That seems more fitting, if you ask me.
Well...
Because if they're these, like, ucky criminals, they're, like, posses, like, look at the wrist.
Well, obviously they didn't ask you.
Like, their eyebrows were on fleek, like...
Well, they didn't ask you, hence the reason they were named the Downtown Posse.
I could have given them so much advice towards this subject matter.
No kidding. No kidding. You could have marketed them so much better.
I could have, definitely.
For sure. Anyway, Sergeant Huber kept eyes on the Dodge Shadow, and he got lucky and he saw four people get into the car. So he confronts them before they have a chance to get away, and police took the people into custody. And so there's Marvallis Keene, who's 19 years old, Laura Taylor, who's 16 years old, and remember Laura Taylor?
The ex.
Of Richmond Maddox.
Yeah, the second victim that we talked about.
Yep, exactly. And then there's DeMarcus, who they call Maurice Smith, and he's 17 years old, and then Heather Matthews, who's 20. So they've got the four people, right?
Yeah, and yeah, but we've only heard about three.
Oh, yeah, the girl and the two guys, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll get there.
Yeah, so there's four of them.
There's four of them. Well, that's how you get off a posse. There needs to be more than three.
Otherwise, it'd just be the downtown trio. Right?
Exactly.
So, you know what? Even the downtown quad would have been a better name for them.
Right?
I'm just saying, if they need help rebranding themselves from jail. Got you, friends.
Yeah. Hey, guys, if you're listening, Daphne's got some advice for you.
I'll help you rebrand yourselves.
Right. So in the stolen Dodge Shadow, police recovered two firearms. And these people were the group called the Downtown Posse.
Whoa! Right.
Again, why? I don't even get it.
Also, when I just called them friends, that's like something that naturally falls off of my tongue. They're not friends. They're bad people.
Well, but... Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I thought you meant like friends with each other.
No, like my friend.
But then I realized that you were like, hey, friends.
Yeah, no. Hey, criminals.
Right? Yeah, obviously they're friends with each other if they're committing crimes, right?
Yeah, right.
It's somewhat of a close knit. And they're in a gang together.
Or a posse.
They're in a posse together.
They're not in a gang. They're in a posse.
They're a posse together. Right. Okay. Shit. And this is just a side note. So later, Sergeant Huber found out that Taylor had told Keene to shoot him when he approached the car.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Well, they're criminals.
Yeah. That doesn't seem like a good idea. Like, let's kill a cop.
Well, clearly everything else they've done isn't a good idea.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not like they're very smart individuals.
Right. And they're young, so they're like kind of recluse. Like,
reckless, not a recluse. They're
not a posse.
They're a posse out on these streets, approaching people, killing them.
Right. Yeah, they're not recluse.
Reclusive to me.
I meant like recluse.
Reckless. Reckless. They're reckless. Well,
it's bedtime. Always. Always fucking bedtime.
You make it sound like you sleep a lot.
I don't, but I like to go to bed early because I have to get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning.
I feel like you should tell our listeners what time it is that we're recording this.
Nope, I feel like that's a secret.
7:38 p.m.
Yeah, but I've been up since 5.
I mean, up since 5.
I'm tired. Well, okay, whatever. Daphne's mean. She's going to have to find a new posse.
Excuse me, we're just a duo.
That's fair. You might be a singular. A singular sensation.
That's me. One singular sensation.
Oh, God. Okay.
I think I need to get back on track.
I think so, too. All right. With the four suspects in custody, police would begin to question them. And they started with 16-year-old Laura Taylor.
Can you do me a favor for the rest of this episode? Instead of calling them the four suspects, please call them the posse members.
Okay. So with the four posse members in custody, police started questioning them. This is a repeat of what I just said. They started with the 16-year-old with Laura Taylor because they're like, well, she's 16. She's probably going to be the most likely one to give up the details, right?
Yeah, because she's the baby.
Right, because she's the youngest. So wrong. She never said a word. She didn't speak to the police at all.
Whoa.
And when she
What a hard bitch.
Oh, well, listen to this. So when she was asked if she wanted to use the restroom... While she was being questioned, she stood up and fucking peed on the floor and then sat back down.
What a little bitch.
Yeah, she's fucking nasty.
Yeah, that's like 10 out of 10 disrespect.
Right? She's so nasty. And so anyway, at this point, Detective Burke knew that he wasn't going to be able to get anything out of this chick, right? He moves on. And the other three members of the posse start telling the story. And so this is how it all went down. The crime started when Laura Taylor... And her boyfriend, Marvallis Keene, decided that they were going to rob John Wilkerson. And he was a 34-year-old General Motors worker. They promised him sex in exchange for money. And then other sources said that an orgy was promised with no mention of money. So again, it's the multiple things that I couldn't find that... But anyway, they were like...
Some kind of sex.
Yeah, or party or whatever. Like, for however they did it, they enticed him into taking them back to his house, right?
Okay.
And they got Heather Matthews to help them with their plan. So it's the three of them. So it's Marvallis, Laura, and Heather are at John Wilkerson's home, and they tie him to his bedpost and they rob him. And then Keene shoots him in the chest with a gun they found in the home. And then, according to Matthews, Heather Matthews, she said Laura Taylor then shot him in the head. 16-year-old, right?
So sounds like she's the ringleader.
Well,
she's the head of the posse.
She was described as being the brains of the operation, but Marv Alice was like the leader
of
the group. So then they stole his car and they picked up Matthew's boyfriend, who is that 17-year-old Maurice Smith. And then they party at John Wilkerson's house for the next 3 days, coming and going as if it were their own house, eating his food. I see your jaw drop.
Like, what? There's a dead body in there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. There was. So they're eating his food, driving his car, all while his dead body, as you pointed out, lay decaying in his bedroom.
I have no words.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah, these aren't good people.
Well, ew in the fact that, like, they're there with this body, right? But also, ew in the fact that, like, they're just such bad humans. Mm-hmm. Like, they're bad eggs.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah.
I can't even fathom the brain that says, oh, let's rob someone and kill them, and then we're going to take over their house and hang out for a few days.
Right.
And they probably would have hung out longer.
And they had his car, too, because of the swapped plates.
Yep, they had his car. And they probably would have hung out longer, except for that they got caught so quickly, right?
Probably.
Because literally, it took police 40 hours to solve this case.
Wow.
Right? So you think of the show 48 hours? This was only 40.
Yeah.
Right? This abbreviated version.
Yeah, they don't need those 8 hours.
They don't.
They did it fast.
Right.
They did it before the show could even, like, speak up.
Right? Exactly. So on Christmas Day, so the next day after Christmas Eve, after they've killed John Wilkerson because he's their first victim, right? Or wait, no, that's a lie. Because then Danita had to be the next victim, right?
Yeah, because she was the one on Christmas Eve.
Right. But John Wilkerson was before Danita.
Okay. So
So
it probably happened on the 23rd.
No, it happened on the 24th. That's when it all started. So then they must have killed Danita. Sorry, I'm like unraveling this in my brain as it's going, because I feel like, again, this stuff didn't 100% play out in all of these sources that I read.
Right.
But no, because it was only over 3 days and it started on Christmas Eve. So they killed John Wilkerson, and the gun that they stole from his house was the one that was used in all of these other shootings. And they had a 9mm gun that they had with them. That was originally what Marv Alice had shot him in the chest
with. Yeah, Wilkerson.
Yeah, shot Wilkerson in the chest with. But then they found this other gun at his house, and then that was the one that they used afterwards. Or Laura Taylor had it, because she was the one that did the rest of the shooting, mostly. Not entirely, because not, like, at the mini-mart, but after
right,
the fact.
Or the woman.
Right. Who... But, of course, I haven't told you that yet, so I'm getting there. But we already know that it was just two guys.
Yeah.
At the mini-mart, right? On Christmas Day, Laura Taylor convinced Richmond Maddox to take her for a ride. So that's her ex-boyfriend, right? So who knows? She's like, oh, let's go for a ride. It's Christmas Day. I love you.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Smoke up his ass.
Right. And she's just a bitch. And then the other three members of the downtown posse followed behind them. And Richmond got nervous when he realized that they were being followed. And he started to kind of, like, stress out a little bit. And so Taylor just fucking shot him in the head and then jumped out of the car. And then the car careens into a tree and she gets into the fucking other car and they take off.
What a bitch.
I know, right? Like, so ruthless. Like, no point, right?
Yeah.
No point in this.
Senseless acts of just disgust.
Right. So can I tell you, when I was reading about this, it was called the Christmas Killings, right? And then the media, so like the news coverage, dubbed them the Devils of Dayton. And then the police, they called it the Joy Killings. Because they literally, there was no fucking motive for any of it. It was just for fucking fun.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, just for fucking fun. During the course of the investigation, this 40-hour investigation, investigators learned that the posse had also killed Wendy Cottrell, who's 16, and Marvin Washington, who was only 18, because they were present during the attempt on Jeffrey Wright's life, who was Heather Matthews' ex-boyfriend, and he was shot in the legs 4 times, but he survived. And this attempt was also made on Christmas Eve.
So they're busy on Christmas Eve.
They're super busy on Christmas Eve. And so they didn't want these other two people, so Wendy and Marvin, they were afraid that they would snitch on them because they were present when this happened. And so they drove him out to a gravel pit that, again, whether it's in town or out of town, it's kind of a
mystery,
right? But they ordered him out of the car, and then Smith and Keene shot him. And then they fucking took Wendy's shoes off of her dead body.
This Laura bitch, she likes shoes.
Right? Ugh, she's terrible. So their trial was held in the summer of 1993, and Heather Matthews took a plea deal. She, you know, was like the one that gave up, I guess, the most information against them, right? And Smith and Taylor were immune from capital punishment because they were minors, because they were 16 and 17.
Gosh.
Right? And DeMarcus Maurice Smith, so he's the 17-year-old, right? He pled guilty the morning that the trial started. So he didn't officially really go to trial because
he didn't have to stand trial. He just got some kind of sentencing.
Yeah, he just pled guilty. Taylor and Keene went on trial because they're like, oh no, you know, we're going to get off, whatever. Whatever they're thinking.
Yeah.
They're willing to roll the dice and go to trial. They were both found guilty.
Good.
Right? So Taylor, Matthews, and Smith were all sentenced to 145 years to life in prison.
Good.
Exactly.
I hope their rotting corpse gets to sit there still. I hope people go party with their rotting corpses.
Right. So in a book, I'm just piecing together this stuff. So in a book that was written by Stephen Grismer and Judith Monser and Dennis Murphy, they interviewed the detectives and the police sergeant that were on this case. And the book is called The Christmas Killings, 40 Hours to Justice.
Yeah.
Good. There was a detail that was given in the book that just kind of struck me because of all the information that was already given. But it just was sad. And it was like just very like characteristic of who these people are, right? So they said that when they approached Anita in the phone booth, they walked up to her and said, "Merry Christmas, bitch," and then shot her 9 times.
What the fuck?
And again, for her freaking old jacket and her Fila tennis shoes.
Yeah. What a bunch of dumb pricks.
Yeah. It's terrible. Yeah. It's very sad.
That's horrible. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, I mean, I feel like this is so common amongst, like, most all murderers, unless it's an act of self-defense, that there's just, like, zero remorse and that they're, like, don't really have a soul. Well, and it's just, like, no different with this one.
Well, these people are, like, cold-blooded killers, right?
Yeah. That's when, like, these people are, like, cold. Fucking gates of hell cold.
Well, and I read also that Heather Matthews just wanted to, like, fit in, so she just went along with it.
But she's 20. Why doesn't she get her own life, her own friends, and aren't fucking 16 and 17? Like, what the fuck is she doing hanging out with a bunch of high school kids?
Well, and her boyfriend's a 17-year-old.
Ew.
So, but anyway, whether she was just trying to be cool and fit in or whatever, you still participated and you still did it. And
yeah.
You didn't after the first one.
What was
one,
her sentencing?
145 years to life.
She also got 100. They all four got 145.
All three of them.
All three?
Three of them.
Oh, what about the other person?
Because Marvallis was sentenced to death.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, or maybe
did he get executed?
Well, I'm getting there.
Did he die?
Okay. So it came out in court documents that Marvallis Keene had been a good student. Did I say he was sentenced to death?
I don't think you did. No, you never said it.
I didn't. So Marvallis was sentenced to death.
That's why I was confused. I was like, because I know one of them took a plea deal. Two of them stood trial.
Right. So Heather's the 20-year-old. So she took a plea deal so she wouldn't get the death penalty.
Yeah.
And then the other two were minors, so they couldn't.
Get the death penalty. But they all three of them rolled the dice and went to court.
No.
Oh, because the one guy pled guilty in the morning before trial started.
No, the day of. Like, the day his trial was going to start.
The morning that his trial started.
Yeah, he pled guilty. So that was Maurice Smith. So that was the 17-year-old. And Laura Taylor got, she was 20, or no, she was Heather 16. Matthews was the 20-year-old, but she wasn't going to get tried with the death penalty because she made the plea deal.
Yeah.
And she gave up the information, but she still got the same sentence that the other two got because of her participation. But they just took the death penalty off the table because she cooperated. Marvallis Keene didn't want to cooperate, so they didn't take the death penalty off the table, and he was convicted and he was given the death penalty.
Gotcha.
So, I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I was like, wait, I missed something. I was like, wait, when did they only go down to a trio instead of being a posse?
Right? I'm so sorry. failing. I'm failing.
You're not failing. It's fine. It's only 7:53 now.
Well, I literally just looked at my notes, too, and I don't fucking have that in my notes.
Fail.
Okay. That's what I get for trying to do 3 fucking cases at one time.
Yeah, I don't know why
you... And have a job and a puppy and get up at 5 o'clock in the morning so I can work out.
I don't know why you do these things to yourself.
I don't know. I'm an overachiever who isn't successful at all things.
That's fine. It happens to the best of us, right?
Right.
Okay.
So I apologize
for
that.
Tell me about Marvallis.
It came out in court documents that Marvallis had been a good student and he'd never been in trouble with law enforcement before this incident, which is a pretty big fucking incident, right?
Yeah, huh.
But a year prior to this...
he's the ringleader.
He's the ringleader. About a year prior to this, his brother had been shot and killed while committing a robbery, and they said that the death of his brother completely changed him, and he became aggressive and mean, and he had a falling out with his dad before all this happened, and that kind of just pushed him over the edge.
Right.
Yeah.
So he just completely plateaued.
Right.
And into a bad person. Well, I guess that wouldn't be a plateau.
No, he didn't plateau.
He went downhill.
Yeah, he jumped off the cliff.
Okay.
Yeah, he descended into badness. Badness, hell.
Hell on earth.
Right. He just was like, fuck it, whatever. I'm just going to do whatever.
I'm going to be a reckless recluse.
Right. He's like, I hate everyone and I'm just going to go out and kill a bunch of fucking people and take my friends with me and my posse with me.
Yeah, the downtown posse.
And we're going to do this. So,
seriously needs rebranding.
Yeah. Yep. Marvallis was sentenced to death. And his
good.
The death penalty was carried out in the form of lethal injection in July of 2009.
That happened fast.
It did. Well, it was 1993.
No, but I feel like people normally on there for like 20 years.
Yeah.
I guess I shouldn't say good. I don't know. I'm kind of indifferent about the death penalty. Like, I feel like sometimes it's like, yeah, because these people, like, if they were ever up for parole and there was ever a judge who came in drunk and they got fucking sent out on parole, that they would definitely reoffend.
Oh, I think it's a parole board and it's not just one judge that gets to be hammered and be like, bye.
Okay, anyway. But by the same token, I feel like they should have to sit in jail and like feel their consequences and live with it. Although it doesn't sound like these people are feeling a damn thing other than their own just joyous lives.
Right.
Being a little posse.
But having your freedom taken away from you when you're just...
a kid.
A crazy kid who, yeah, feels invincible, I guess. So you want to hear what his last meal was? Because when you're getting the death penalty, you always get a last meal. And, you know, I don't know.
I get to take a guess?
Yeah, you can.
Popcorn chicken.
You're never going to fucking get it.
That one Ben and Jerry's ice cream that we like. The, like, banana peanut butter bullshit.
Chunky Monkey?
Yeah.
Nope, that wasn't it. Okay, I'm just gonna take away the suspense and I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
And this is fucking crazy because I don't know why. I feel like they shouldn't get a last meal.
I feel like they shouldn't get a last meal either.
I mean, they should, but it shouldn't
They should be allowed to eat, but it shouldn't be by their choice.
Right. What they like, get here's to a eat. Tuna sandwich or a peanut butter and jelly.
I love both of those things.
I know, but I mean, what people pick, you know.
Here's some sludge.
Right. Okay, so his last meal was a steak, prawns with cocktail sauce, French fries, onion rings, bread and butter, 2 plums, a mango, a pound of grapes, a German chocolate cake, 2 bottles of Pepsi, and 2 bottles of cream soda.
Okay, so I have a question.
If he wasn't going to get the death penalty, this is going to kill him anyway.
Well, there's that, like, that's facts. But, okay, so, like, how long do they get to eat before they're put to death?
Apparently there isn't a time limit or they're, like, a challenge.
No, I'm not asking, like, how do they get, like, 20 minutes to go down the funeral? I'm not asking that. I'm asking, like, you get served your meal at 10 and you're put down at 11. Like, what does that look like?
I don't know, but I feel like most executions do happen, like, late in the middle of the night. I don't know why, but I think
that's not true because I remember seeing, like, all those reports of when, like, John Wayne Gacy, Jeffrey Dahmer, all these people were put to death.
Well, like, Jeffrey Dahmer wasn't put to death, he got killed.
No, that's not what I meant. Not him. Like, Ted Bundy, Gacy, that, like, there was, like, people outside, like, with posters, like, good, kill him. And there's, like, all this news coverage of him.
But
like,
I think...
And we see that with, like, what? Like, Eileen Wuornos, too. Like, kill the bitch. Like, these kinds of things, right?
Well, I think the day that they're scheduled for execution, in most cases, their lawyers are trying to, like, get a stay of execution. And so they have until midnight or whatever to do that. And so I think, like, a lot of these executions, like, I'm pretty sure Ted Bundy, like, his execution happened, like, freaking 4 a.m. or something. So, but I don't know. Don't quote me on
that. He got early to die.
But I think he was trying to get a stay.
Of course he was. And so,
yeah, like, totally. He was definitely, he tried to not die a lot.
Yeah, I know. I've heard.
But anyway, so that's it. That's all I have.
Well, okay. You want to know why I asked that question?
Yes, I do. Especially because I thought you meant, like, okay, it's 20 minutes. It's an eating challenge. It's like that fucking hot dog thing on Nathan's or whatever, where they're, like, shoving as many hot dogs in their mouth as they can.
No, I asked because I feel so bad for the coroners after the fact and the people in the room. Like, what end is it coming out of after he's dead?
Well, I thought about that too.
I was like,
but I wasn't gonna say it.
That's a lot of food.
A lot of fucking food.
Like, that's a lot of excrement, human excrement,
right?
After you're dead.
Well, and when you die, all that shit literally happens anyway.
Yeah.
But oh my God, this is like 2 weeks worth of food.
Yeah. Yeah. So easily.
A lot of food.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, crazy. Or maybe a week.
Well, I think that, what was it again?
It was a steak, prawns with cocktail sauce, french fries, onion rings, bread and butter, 2 plums, a mango, a pound of grapes, German chocolate cake, 2 bottles of Pepsi, and 2 bottles of cream soda.
I feel like that's like 3 days max worth of food.
3 days minimum, you mean?
Max.
3 days max?
3 days max, okay. Because you can...
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. I'm just going to stop you right there. We're going to end this now.
And I don't mean to be, like, laughing the whole time. I feel so bad for the victims. It's horrible.
Yeah.
But, like, how can you not laugh at these clown idiot killers? They're such fuckers that it's like, you sit there and you go, what the fuck? And it's just like, what the fuck?
So back to the victims. It's really sad.
Yeah, it's horrible for them.
It's really sad.
Like, poor Danita. A second victim that you spoke about, Laura's ex-boyfriend.
Richmond Maddox.
Maddox, yeah.
Like Sarah Abraham.
Yeah.
Yeah, like sad.
It's freaking terrible. It's all freaking really terrible.
Sad. Really sad.
Like, these people are just horrible people.
Very terrible.
But we should have known that since they were called a posse.
And the Christmas killings was a tip-off also. So anyway, what'd you think?
I liked it.
Other than the fact that I forgot to tell you about the death penalty thing.
Yeah. Other than the fact that you left out, like, half the information. Just
only
kidding.
That much.
Just kidding. No, I know. You said you were, like, keeping me posted as you were doing it. That you're like, I'm having the hardest time with this one. And then for your other, I don't know what the third, if you will, case that you're working on is. Unless this was considered the third.
No.
I know that one of the other two cases that you're working on, like, you're reading a book for it. And so that's...
A whole book.
On her iPad.
With a glare.
With the glare that she can't see when she's sitting in the light.
Right.
Yeah, no, I thought it was very interesting that these people just suck so badly.
Well, it's really interesting that they're young kids and that they're grouped together and that they're in this community where crime is rampant.
Yeah.
And it's all just like...
It's sad that it's almost like...
Situational.
Situational in that they're just like products of their environment.
Mm-hmm.
And that now it's like, instead of, you know, how they say that, like, the kids who break the statistics and don't do these things,
mm-hmm.
like, they're just a statistic at this point.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
That's all that they are.
So it's sad for them in the sense that they grew up in this environment. And, you know, for Merv Alice Keene, he was a good kid doing the right thing. And then his brother got shot and he was like, fuck it.
Yeah, but that's really no reason to get caught up
that
in this
really
crowd.
Is no reason. That's no reason. Well, to start the crowd.
Well, yeah, to start the crowd to right? get caught up.
And that Heather Matthews just like going along with it because she wanted to fit in.
Yeah, that's bullshit. There's and plenty of like, other people she could have fit in with.
Yeah, and it sounds like that Laura Taylor was just like a hard person, like 16 years old and just hard.
Yeah.
You know.
And sounds like none of them had any kind of sense of remorse.
No, it doesn't sound like it at all. Except for...
No, because she still did it to Finn. Right. And I know what you're about to say about Heather.
Because she said she didn't want to, but she did.
She did it. She still fucking participated, which still makes her a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Still makes her as good or as bad as the rest of them.
100%.
I hope that none of them ever get paroled.
I was trying to figure that out, and I know that they've come up for the parole board before, but honestly, I could not find it. And so if I find it before the one that you do, then I will give you the information. But man, I just had such a hard time finding it.
Okay.
So, and again, because I was just trying to get one done so that we would get one done.
Yeah.
So anyway, but I did look. I spent several days trying to figure out all this information. So
yeah,
it's not like I was like, oh, 3 hours, I'm good. No, I did put time into it.
But no, I know you did.
I was struggling.
But yeah, it's definitely a shorter case than it sounds like the ones that you're working on. Shoot, 48 hours, couldn't even speak before this case was solved.
Right? That's crazy.
They were like, what? They couldn't even finish. What's going on?
Right? It's crazy that they solved that case in 40 hours.
Yeah, that's pretty, I would say it's pretty spot on police work at that point.
No kidding. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, and thank you. Take care.
I hope you enjoy keep this listening. Episode. Yeah, and we hope you keep listening.
We would really love it.
We would.
And this again, is a passion project.
Yeah, it is. And it's a labor of love. It's a lot of work.
It is.
Yeah.
It absolutely is. Hopefully our sound quality doesn't suck because we've been playing around with it so much. And this is why I'm not allowed to wear shoes.
And I'm not allowed to breathe.
Take care.
Good night.
Bye-bye.